speaker will be Dr. Umesh Parashar. Dr. Parashar is the lead of the Enteric and Respiratory Viruses Epidemiology Section in the Division of Viral Diseases at CDC. Dr. Parashar has spent his career at CDC researching the epidemiology of viral gastroenteritis and methods for its prevention and control, including vaccination strategies. He was the CDC co-lead of the working group that developed the recommendations for the use of the new rotavirus vaccine in the United States. Umesh?
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm delighted to provide you an update on the effectiveness and safety of rotavirus vaccines from a variety of settings around the world. Just to recap, we currently have two licensed rotavirus vaccines that are recommended for routine use in U.S. children. One is a pentavalent bovine human reassortant rotavirus vaccine, which I will subsequently refer to as RV5, the trade name Rotatec. And this vaccine is based on the principle that animal rotavirus strains are naturally attenuated for humans. And so by using a bovine rotavirus as a backbone and then in it inserting single human rotavirus genes for the surface proteins of the common G types, G1, G2, G3, and G4, as well as a P8 type, you can produce reassortant viruses that do not cause illness, but do induce immunity against human infection. This vaccine is given in 3 doses orally at 2, 4, and 6 months of age, along with other recommended childhood vaccines. The second vaccine is different in concept. It's a monovalent vaccine, which I will refer to as RV1, and the trade name is Rotarix. And this is based on a single human rotavirus strain, the most common strain that's found globally in about 50% of cases of severe rotavirus in any setting, which is G1P8. And in some ways, this is in principle similar to the oral polio vaccine in that they took a virus from a child with diarrhea and then by serial passage in cell culture made it attenuated for humans so it can produce infection and immunity but does not cause clinical disease. This vaccine is given in a 2-dose series, again orally, and is recommended at 2 and 4 months of age in U.S. children. Both these vaccines underwent large clinical trials to demonstrate efficacy, and the pivotal trials were done in Europe and the Americas. And as you can see on this graphic, for the pentavalent vaccine RV5, the key pre-licensure trial was done in the United States and Finland, and the vaccine showed a very high efficacy, 98%, against severe rotavirus gastroenteritis. The monovalent vaccine was tested in 2 large phase 3 trials, one in Latin America and one conducted in 6 countries in Europe. And you will see again that the vaccine showed very good efficacy ranging from 85 to 96% against severe rotavirus gastroenteritis. Once these initial efficacy data became available, these vaccines were licensed and were recommended for use in many countries in these regions of the Europe and Americas. Because of concerns that live oral rotavirus vaccines may perform less well in developing country settings, the vaccines underwent phase 3 clinical trials in Africa and Asia after those pivotal trials in Europe and Americas were completed. And you will notice in this slide, indeed, the efficacy of both the pentavalent vaccine, which was tested in 3 countries in Africa and 2 countries in Asia, as well as of the monovalent vaccine, which was tested in 2 countries in Africa, was indeed lower than what we saw in the Europe and Americas. As you can see, the efficacy against severe rotavirus disease ranged from 51 to 64% as opposed to 85 to 98% in high-income settings. This is not really surprising. We know that oral rotavirus vaccines in developing settings face many challenges. Children often have concurrent infections with other pathogens. They may be malnourished. They may have other comorbidities. So the lower efficacy was expected and not surprising. I think an important point to note is that despite the lower estimate of efficacy, the vaccine actually prevents more severe rotavirus disease for a given number of vaccinated children. And I will illustrate this point by showing you data from the trial of the monovalent vaccine conducted in two countries in Africa, South Africa and Malawi. As you can see in this graphic, the efficacy of the monovalent vaccine was 77% in South Africa. And what you can see in these two bars, the dark blue bar shows the number of cases of severe rotavirus per 100 children in the placebo arm, and they were 3.5. In the vaccine arm, this was reduced to one case per 100 children. So you prevented 2.5 episodes of severe rotavirus disease for 100 vaccinated children in South Africa with this estimate of vaccine efficacy. If you look at Malawi, the efficacy of the vaccine was actually lower. The point estimate you can see there was 50%, so it's clearly lower than what you saw in South Africa. But it's important to note, if you look at the baseline burden of disease in the placebo group in Malawi, you saw 8 cases of severe rotavirus per 100 children. And a vaccine with 50% efficacy in the vaccine arm reduced that to 4 cases per 100 children. And so you can see that you actually prevented 4 cases by vaccinating 100 children as opposed to 2.5 in South Africa. So the efficacy tells you part of the picture. It's important to note that in developing settings, despite low vaccine efficacy, the burden of disease prevented is considerable because of the very high baseline disease rates. With these data from the trials in Africa and Asia, the World Health Organization in 2009 recommended global use of rotavirus vaccine. And as you can see in this graphic at the bottom, the world map, the red dots, each of which represents 250 rotavirus deaths, clearly show that the real impact of the vaccine in saving lives of young children will be in developing countries in Africa and Asia when the vaccines are introduced there. More than 30 countries now have already implemented rotavirus vaccines in their national immunization programs. And I've shaded here the countries in blue that are using rotavirus vaccines currently. The dark blue are countries that are Gavi eligible. The light blue are other countries. And you'll notice, because the first clinical trials were done in the Americas and Europe, that's where the introductions have initially happened, as well as in Australia. What I will show you now in the next few slides are some highlights of data on vaccine effectiveness and safety from some of these countries. So first, to begin and look at some data on vaccine effectiveness and impact. And I'll begin with data from the United States, where we currently have both vaccines recommended. The pentavalent vaccine was recommended in early 2006. And then in summer of 2008, we also had the monovalent vaccine recommended. In this graphic, you see the rotavirus hospitalization and emergency room visit rates from sentinel surveillance that we have ongoing in 3 U.S. counties. And this is active surveillance where children who are hospitalized or visit the emergency room visit for diarrhea are enrolled, and you obtain a fecal specimen that is tested for rotavirus. And you can very clearly see here that following vaccine introduction, the first 2 years were essentially baseline years with very low vaccine uptake. But you can see that in the year 2008 and subsequently, we actually now have data for 2011 as well, you've seen a remarkable drop in both hospitalization and emergency room visit rates for a severe rotavirus disease, which is amounted for about 60 to 70% reduction compared with pre-vaccine baseline years. An interesting finding was the fact that we not only saw declines in rotavirus disease in children who were vaccinated. So if you look at the data by age group from the same surveillance network, for the less than 1 and 1 to 2 year age groups, This is the vaccine coverage in the year 2008, 44 to 56%, and we saw a reduction in rotavirus hospitalization in 2008 compared with 2006 of 66 to 95%. But if you look at the bottom row, which is children 2 to 3 years of age, in that year, 2008, hardly any children in this age group had received rotavirus vaccine. They were just not age eligible when the vaccine came to the market. But you'll notice in the right column, the decline in rotavirus hospitalization rate for this age group, 85%, was actually very similar to the age groups that were younger and that had been vaccinated. So I think this was our first indication that, like you've seen with pneumococcal vaccines, varicella vaccines, other vaccines, you may potentially be seeing herd immunity with rotavirus vaccines, and we've seen this in other settings as well. I won't show you other data from the U.S. We have several different data from national hospitalization data, laboratory data, which all show these remarkable declines in severe rotavirus disease after vaccine introduction. My last highlight of vaccine impact are findings from Mexico, where we actually have first evidence that the vaccine prevents diarrheal disease deaths. And this is exciting because the mortality endpoint was something that obviously could not be looked at in pre-licensure trials because of the huge numbers needed. But we set about to monitor trends in diarrheal disease mortality among young Mexican children. And let me first orient you to the data on this graph. On the x-axis are years, all the way going from 2003 to 2009. And then the y-axis is number of diarrheal deaths. And there are three age groups. The red lines are children less than 1 year of age. The blue line is 1 to 2 years. And then the black line is 2 to 5 years. So clearly you can see that most of the diarrheal mortality is in young children less than 1 year of age. What is also very striking in this graphic is that you see these very sharp winter peaks in diarrheal mortality. And so these are not rotavirus deaths, they are all-cause diarrheal deaths. But I have also overlaid on this graphic, and it may be a little light for you to see, the shaded areas behind those curves are the actual months of the year when rotavirus circulates in Mexico. And you can see for each of the four pre-vaccine seasons, those peaks in diarrheal mortality coincide very clearly with the timing of the peak rotavirus season, which is an indirect indication that many of these diarrheal deaths were likely caused by rotavirus. If you look at trends after vaccine introduction, 2007 was when rotavirus vaccine was nationally implemented in Mexico. And again, you see in just the first season after national vaccine implementation in 2008, you saw this big reduction in diarrheal mortality, especially among the less than 1 year age group. This is the group that had received vaccine by this season. The blue line you see is not that much changed, but the red line is considerably blunted. If you look at the subsequent season in 2009, by this time, not only children less than 1 year had received rotavirus vaccine, but also those 1 to 2 years of age. And you can see a blunting in both of those age groups in winter diarrheal deaths. Again, we now have data from 2010, 2011 as well, confirming that these declines have been sustained and so are likely indeed due to vaccine implementation. Moving on to show you a bit of data on vaccine safety monitoring post-licensure. And just to remind you, I think the reason the safety issues with rotavirus vaccines are at the forefront and of interest is because of the experience with the rhesus rotavirus vaccine called RotaShield, which was licensed and recommended in the U.S. back in 1998. And it was actually withdrawn in less than a year after it was implemented because found to be associated with an increased risk of intussusception, which is a form of bowel obstruction. And very clearly there was an association with a relative increase of 30-fold compared with baseline in the first week after the first dose of rotavirus vaccine. And it was estimated overall that about one in 10,000 recipients of RotaShield suffered from intussusception. For this reason, both the vaccines were tested in large phase 3 clinical trials to look at a risk of intussusception similar to that seen with RotaShield. And in neither of these two big clinical trials, you found an increased risk of intussusception. These are data for the monovalent vaccine from the Latin American study, and you can see about 30,000 children were given vaccine, about the same number of placebo, and there was really no excess, 6 cases in the vaccine arm, 7 intussusceptions in the placebo group, no indication of increased risk. Similarly, if you look at data from the large trial of the pentavalent vaccine from the US and Finland, about 35,000 infants each received vaccine and placebo. Again, the cases of intussusception were evenly distributed in the vaccine and placebo group with no increased risk. It's important to look at the interval where the outcome was monitored, about 1 month after any of the 2 doses for monovalent vaccine and 42 days after any of the 3 doses for the pentavalent vaccine. So you might ask, why are we still concerned about intussusception? And as I mentioned, these trials, even though they were large, they were designed to exclude a fairly large risk within long time windows after vaccination, 30 or 42 days after any of the vaccine doses. So to look at risk in a shorter period after vaccination or a lower level of risk, you need to do post-licensure monitoring. And just to summarize very briefly, the data so far from many countries using the vaccine, we have seen in both Mexico as well as in Australia a possible low-level risk of intussusception after the first dose of both rotavirus vaccines currently recommended. And the risk is about 1 or 2 excess intussusception cases for every 100,000 vaccinated children. So it's about 5 or 10-fold lower than what was seen with the earlier vaccine, RotaShield, that was withdrawn from the U.S. Interestingly and of note, we have not documented a risk in the U.S. despite active monitoring ongoing in the vaccine safety data link, but it's also important to note that the data we have from the U.S. are not sufficient at this time to exclude the level of risk seen in other settings with certainty. I think the key point to take home from this is ultimately you have to consider vaccine benefit and risk in total to make informed decisions about vaccine use. And when you compare the data, and these are real world data from many different countries where we have both data on vaccine benefit as well as potential risk of intussusception, and you can see very clearly if you look at Mexico as an example, rotavirus vaccine prevented 11,600 diarrhea hospitalizations, about 660 diarrhea deaths each year. And then we saw with universal vaccination, you would see about 40 intussusception cases and 2 deaths. So clearly, the benefit-risk balance is on the side of benefit. And at the bottom row, you can see similarly for the U.S., the number of rotavirus hospitalizations and deaths prevented is substantially greater than intussusception cases that the vaccine might cause. So to conclude from all these data, what we've seen are marked reductions in severe diarrheal disease in many countries that have adopted routine rotavirus vaccination. We've also seen the possibility of a low intussusception risk in some settings, but this has not been documented everywhere, including in the U.S. Most importantly, I think, and I hope that table I showed you convinced you that the proven benefits of vaccination outweigh the short-term low-level risk of intussusception that has been seen in many settings. Thank you for your attention.